Blog Talk Radio.
Back is on the news. How I live the rap life. Making money, smoking mics like crack is on the news. How I live the rap life. Making money, smoking mics like crack life.
This is the original Los Angeles beat spitter, Tweet Cadillac, baby. And you tune in to the G-Loop Show. Westside Wednesday. OG Sunday. We rolling the pip line. Sweet Cadillac, baby. Baby. Yeah. Make sure to tune in. Every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Put some pimpin' in your life. Yeah.
Niggas wanna know how I live the Mac life. Making money, smoking mics like crack is on the note. How I live the Mac life. Making money, smoking mics like crack is on the note. How I live the Mac life. Making money, smoking mics like crack is on the note.
Welcome to the G-Lou Show, Westside Wednesdays,
11th of August, 2021. Welcome, everybody. I am G. Lou. I'm joined by my lovely, beautiful, beautiful co-host, the queen herself, Miss Queen Jean is here. Good evening, Queen.
Good evening, G. Lou. How are you?
I'm doing blessed this evening. Very blessed. I hope you're
awesome.
Doing the same. I know you're on vacation. How's your vacation going so far, Queen?
Oh, my God. My vacation is such a blessing, such a relief. I'm creating priceless memories with my family here. I am having a ball. Thank you for asking.
That's right. That's right. Hey, you should. I'm glad you're
today,
having a great time.
Yes, I'm having a great time. Today is hip-hop's birthday. 46 years today since hip-hop culture. Yeah, so happy birthday to all the hip-hop, you know, artists
hip-hop
out there. Happy birthday to the, culture. So, yeah, that was pretty dope. 46 years ago today. So, wow. So, yeah. I just had to throw
it's
that out there real quick.
That's right. It is West Side Wednesdays, even though we got the OG in the house tonight. But it is West Side Wednesday. So shout out to Hip Hop Hooray from the G. Lou Show. It's G. Lou Queen, Gene.
Right.
We are here. Shout out to our sponsors, BTP Media Group, 93.Tweed, FMism, the After Six Cruise Mix every Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio. Also, shout out to Queen Jean and the Unisex. Tell them about them shirts and the apparel and everything you got going on, Queen, if they want to get at you. And those cakes.
Oh, yeah. I have the Unisex apparel, the Queen Jean show, Unisex apparel, where they're customized to whatever you would want on them. The only thing you have to do is make sure you put the crown on there, which represents all the queens with your name underneath it or whatever else you may want to put underneath that. But you can get with me regarding that, the order on Instagram, DM me, or you can DM me on Facebook, or you can hit me on through my Gmail, onesaucynana@gmail.com. And also my cousin who makes cakes, amazing baker. She makes she made our cake for our reunion. She made my cake for my birthday. She can customize anything you want, any way you want it. All you have to do is send her a picture, and she got you. You can follow her at Shado Pastries on IG. So get at her for anything. She takes orders. You got to put your order in quick because she fills up real quick. So she does amazing work. So that's Shado.
Right.
Shado.
She got the bomb cake.
Shado.
Yeah.
Yes. Very tasty. Yeah.
She is the bomb. Okay, so check this out, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, you're welcome. Check this out, ladies and gentlemen. It's Wednesday night, and tonight, man, I'm honored just to have the guests we have on. First and foremost, his family, family of the Berkeleys, Queen Jean's extended big old family she has. But I'm honored to have this gentleman on here tonight because he is, first of all, an OG, an original, coming out the Compton area. Over there off of Wilmington, you know, the Carver Park, George Washington Carver Park area. It's an OG. He is reformed. You know, he has a big story, but I just like the things that he's doing, his story first and foremost. Then he has a new thing he's doing with what I know a younger gentleman, and I'm sure they have a bigger crew as well, but the United Streets of America. I mean, it's just a lot of things he is doing. He travels, he goes and talks to the youth, you know what I mean? He does a lot, and he's a father as well of a beautiful young lady as well. I want to go ahead and let Queen Jean introduce him because it is her cousin. She could tell you better than me. So, Queen Jean, go ahead and introduce our guest for the evening, please.
Yes, let's welcome my cousin, first cousin. His name is Brian Berkeley, but he's an OG, so he goes by the name of Brian D, our Bright Dog, and he does have a lot of things going. He has a story to tell. I love his journey. Very inspirational. I call him Boss King because that's what he is to me, a Boss King. Welcome to the show. How are you?
And I want to give both y'all
good evening, sir.
You know. Yeah, hello? Yeah.
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
I was I said, I want to give both y'all a big salute, man, for all that y'all do, man, the people that you, you know, have come on your show. You know, it's inspiring to a lot of other people, first and foremost. That's what I want to say to y'all. And
thank you.
Thank you.
And as for me, you know, like I said, I just got off a show. I just did a show we got called We Salute the Grind, which is, Gene, now that you've mentioned what you mentioned, you're going to have to be on there. And basically what We Salute the Grind is we highlight melanated people in the community that have their own businesses, entrepreneurs, and we give them a 35-minute platform to basically let, you know, the public know what they're doing, where they're located, what inspired them, what obstacles they overcame, and so on, you know. And I was formerly hosting the show. Now that one of my daughters is going to host it, but you can check that out on theusastreets.com. And
THAUSA, so that's the streets, US, the streets USA.
The USA streets.com. And we have a lineup, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, theusastreets.com. That's our website. And, you know, we have a lineup. We got a brother named Bam. We have a show coming on Thursdays at 8 o'clock called OG Perspective, you know, hosted by OG Bam. He's out of Compton as well. But we're not just centered on all other Native people, you know. And with another show, you know, Freedom.
Is that Bam?
My brother named
OG Bam from Front Hood?
From Front Hood, yes.
I'm
sir.
Sorry.
That's Bam from Front Hood.
Okay, okay.
You know,
okay.
Co-founders in the Streets of America are myself, Melly Mel of the Hood Postman, shout out to him, and a brother named Heyru, Dwayne Hendricks out of Brunswick, Georgia.
Yes.
You know, so the three of us, you know, we basically are the founder and co-founders of the United Streets of America, and our whole agenda is giving back to the community and highlighting those in the community. And we're doing innovation on the web by having actual slots that you could tune in on instead of waiting on the next episode, our podcast, doing things of that nature. Just like everyone knows you're on the Wednesday nights, people know, tune in to the Gene Lou Queen Gene show Wednesday nights on the blog. Well, a lot of different spots don't have formats up. So we're basically turning our website.
That sounds dope.
We control, we control the narrative of what's going on in our communities, you know, and as for me, I often tell people I don't hide it because I the theme song that you play for me, even though it's hip hop Wednesday, basically, you know, with me is what you see is what you get. I don't glorify my past. I don't sugarcoat it, but I just did 18 years in the feds from self-imposed obstacles that I placed in front of myself. I don't blame no one, you know, and I came on with a plan to paraphrase the minister. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. You know, and so I came up with a plan of I'm tired of living as I'm living, and I said I have to do something. And so in league, we're getting my four collegiate degrees. I transformed myself, you know, contrary to popular belief, everybody from in the city is not a functioning illiterate. And you are a testimony to that, Big Lou. You know, I know where your origins are, bro. You're part of that six-time contest on the, you know, and Queen Jean, you know, she's a sister straight up on the concrete for Compton. You know, and so all of us, you know, are inspiration and a testimony within ourselves as far as what we can do. You know, so with me, I basically, you know, been from the neighborhood over 40 years, did everything that came with that, what it entailed, did a lot of prison time from foolishness. You know, now my job is if I can stop one 14-year-old, one 4-year-old, one 24-year-old from living as I live, I feel happy. I could die content.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And my primary focus now is setting up generational wealth for my grandchildren. And what a lot of people think generational wealth is monetary. No, it's a 6-year ride to college. If you can't make it after that 6-year free ride to college, that's on you. I did my job as a grandfather. You know, that's what I'm interested in right now. You know, so.
Right.
Anything you want to ask me, man, I'm open to ask. You know, any questions, man, I don't have no problems with it. You know.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna let Queen just go ahead and kick it off because I know she knows you better. I have a lot of questions I want to ask you, but I want to let her, ladies first, and let her, you know, go ahead and kick it off because I know she knows you personally and it's some things I know she can touch on. You know, so I'm gonna let Queen kick it off. Go ahead, Queen. You have the floor.
Okay. Hey, hey, hey. first of all, you know that I admire you. You inspire me. You mentor me, amongst a lot of other things. It's a blessing and a pleasure to share the same DNA with you, especially as first cousins with our dads being brothers. That's just like, that says a whole lot. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
How many children do you have, and how many grandchildren do you have? I don't know how many grandchildren you have, and what you're saying that you wanted to do what you wanted to do for your grandchildren, that's pretty deep, because like you said, it's not a monetary thing, and people do get it twisted and think everything has to be about money. It starts with knowledge before it starts with money. So how many grandchildren do you have?
I have 4 grandchildren, and I have 7 children.
Seven
biological children and 2 children I've raised since they were in Pampers. So I have 9 children.
Mm-hmm.
I can't exclude them. After all, I have them tattooed on my body, all 9 of them. So,
yes,
you know, and I have 2 deceased children, but they're still here in my heart. So, you know.
Right, right. Exactly.
And my 4 grandchildren. You know,
4 grandchildren.
4 grandchildren. You know,
okay, so let's talk about your stretch, your prison stretch, and the accomplishments that you made and how you got to the point to start making those accomplishments while you were behind the wall, because you shared that with me, and I thought it was like, wow, you know, because you told me you were a knucklehead when you was in there, and then the brothers got a hold of you, and from there you just turned it around. So can you just share some of that with us?
It's like it's like it's trifold. When I first fell, I was 38, and I knew I'd be coming home at 58, but because the laws changed, I came home at 57. So,
uh-huh.
Well, actually, 56, actually. No, 57. Yeah, I came home 56, but I stayed in the halfway house for a year. But with my transformation, one of the catalysts to my transformation was I got tired. I got tired of being, okay, essentially street legacy per se. And then when my son was killed in 2013, I was like, damn, you know, to myself. And I didn't go into a guilt trip because that's not in my DNA like that. I believe in everything's preordained in this world as we know it, and there's nothing you could do to circumvent certain dates and certain times. Yet in the same token, I did blame myself to a certain degree. And so I said to myself, you know, man, unfortunately, I've been in there, as they say, putting in work, doing this, that, and another, and in a violent way. And I said, man, what's wrong with you? I had a long talk with myself. I said, what's wrong with you, man? Is this your retirement plan? And so I started going to school because I always had I was always inclined to higher learning. And I decided to just get degrees, you know. So I got my first degree I received was in social and behavior science. My second degree was in American studies. My third degree was in business. Then I received a certificate of achievement in business. And it gave me more sense of self-accomplishment, and it made me really realize that the saying goes, sometimes the roads we go down to avoid our destiny on are the roads that we find our destiny on. And I wouldn't have never knew, or I feel like I wouldn't have never received 4 collegiate degrees if I wouldn't have went to prison. Because on the streets, I wouldn't have had enough time to do it, being that I have to contribute to my, I have to take care of myself. And so that was the key factor right there. I had time on my hand, and I used to look at the dudes who wanted to be whales in the fish pond. And I used to always say, am I the only broke millionaire in jail? Because everybody's a millionaire, except for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. Yet here it is, you asked me for a top ramen and a mackerel, but you're a millionaire. So I had to ask myself when I started looking around at brothers, do you want to continuously come to jail and be a fake millionaire? Or do you want to get out and contribute and balance all the negativity you did in your community with something positive? Because you have to have a yin and a yang. Fire me was discipline, self-conversations, and just, you know how they say when some people have near-death experiences, they see their whole life flash in front of them?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have to see life flash in front of me. I got to thinking, like, man, you've been from the neighborhood for decades. You've done everything. I used to sit up there and think that, well, it was just a gang member that I did this to or that to. But then I start acknowledging the ripple effect. I may do something to your child who's a woman when I was a child, but that child may no longer be with us, or that child may be with us, you know, that's what it was. Yet forever in their people's mind, the ripple effect would be that it affected them and continuously affected when birthdays come, holidays come, and things of that nature. So that was another catalyst when I realized what the ripple effect was. It wasn't he was just a gang member like I was a gang member. You know, then I started analyzing my life. I've been shot 8 times. I got shot in 86. I got shot in 87. I got shot in 88. I got shot in 90. It was like my homeboys was like, damn, you got shot again? When are you going to quit getting shot? I just went through the airport, not even a month ago, and 5 bullets showed up in me, and they had to pull me to the side. You know, so those were key factors, man. And then I got to thinking about my children, whom I've atoned to when I came home from prison. But I said, you know, makeup going clown and women, so I'm not going to make up to y'all. And ketchup going french fries, and I'm not edible. What I can do is allow you to have to say to me in this room.
Right.
Huh?
Preach. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You said about the ketchups and french fries and not being edible. That's pretty deep.
Yeah, you know. And I told him, you could call me whatever name you want to call me in the book. I got to bite the bullet on that. You could say whatever you want to say in this room. But first I want to say I apologize you for choosing the neighborhood over you and family. Okay? Now, after you say that, we can leave this in this room and build. Or if you want to remain in this room, I hate to say it, but you're going to remain in this room by yourself because I got to move forward.
Right.
And all of my children, none of my children, by the gift of that in which I embrace theologically, had anything negative to say. I said, come on, old man, you home. Let's move forward. Now, we've had our spats. It ain't been all okey-dory, you know, but I can sincerely say the same thing I can say about you, Queen Jean, is, yes, you're my first cousin, but our relationship transcends being family because a true friend is one who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. You emailed me on a regular basis when I was in the feds. We built. We developed. We did everything that transcends just being related. So our relationship takes precedence over a lot of our first cousins because we have a relationship. Not just, oh, we Berkeley, you know, we Berkeley strong for reals, and it's 1,000 of us, you know. So that's basically my story, you know, because for over 20 years, I was one of the top dudes from my neighborhood as far as in the violent arena. And that's why I called it the sense of legacy. You know, when you have certain titles attached to you from that world. You know, a kid told me in the feds, he said, I made a phone call about you. I said, you made a phone call about me, homeboy, what you checking up on me for? He said, nah, homie. When I did, they said, you one of the ones. And I didn't know what that meant. So I went and asked another, do what the hell one of the ones mean? He said, cuz, that means you go top motherfucker. I said, excuse my language. But I'm like, you know, I'm like.
Nah, you good. You can say that.
You know, and I'm like, damn, you know, because when I die, I want some man to say, I listened to that dude, perhaps on the Gene Lou show, perhaps on his podcast, United Streets of America, but I listened to that man. I decided not to hustle. I went to school, and I went and pulled two of my childhood friends up, and look at us now. We're proprietors, we're doctors, we're lawyers, we're senators. A lawyer as in a litigator, a senator as in one who wields power, or a doctor with a PhD. That's what doctor, lawyer, senator means to me. And if one person could say that about me when I'm dead, and 1,000 people could say about me about the streets, it negates everything from the streets in my mind. That's how I feel today. But if you ask me where I'm from, I'm going to tell you, man, I'm from Carver Park. Carver Park is my foundation. The world is my destination.
Right.
You know? So that's how I function. And it's like I told my PO, he said, are you from Carver Park? I said, what you think, bro? Of course. The reason I said that is because they have what's called a database computer, and a lot of young brothers don't know it when they fill out them FIs, field information. When they put you in that database computer, you stand there 30 years. You could be a regular Joe Blow. A lot of brothers not up on this, man. And you can have a car accident with your wife, and some man can call your wife out of her name. You punch him in the face, and he falls and breaks his arm. They're going to say reputed gang member struck Joe Blow citizen and give you an enhancement of X amount of years and put you in a concrete warehouse because you're in a database computer as a gang member. So when they ask me, are you still from Carver Park? Hell yeah, I'm from Carver Park. You're going to bust me in the head whether I'm from Carver Park or not, or whether I'm active or not. So yeah, definitely, you know.
Right.
And it's a cold stigmatization that we have in the inner cities now when they put us in these database computers. But it's something that eventually I'm going to fight with other brothers to get a lot of brothers out of it, to transform their lives, but not fraudulently get them up out of it when you for real get you up out of it, you know, because certain things we do come back to haunt us, and, you know, this is what we signed up for, but it doesn't mean it has to regulate the rest of our lives. You know, so.
And, you know, there was something else that you did that I was just blown away about, because I never heard a man or a brother speak of parenting from behind the walls. So share with the people what you did from behind the walls as far as parenting. I already know, but I would just like for other people to hear, because it can inspire someone else from behind the walls who may be listening to do the same thing, who feel like, I can't do nothing, I'm behind the walls.
Well, what I did was I used to write my son's letters called In the Event Of. In the event of you encounter this, this is how you combat it. In the event of you encounter that, this is how you combat it. So at first my boys was like, why are you writing us these letters? And then the pride that came is when my junior, who's 28 years old, come August 24th, said to me, and says, anyone, everything that I am as a man is because of my father when he was locked up. But he's referring to the in the event of letters that I wrote him. In the event of you encounter this. And I was telling my boys, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm showing you what to do when you encounter this. And as far as my daughters, I'm the one that told my daughters about the birds and the bees, you know, because I'm a man that feels a lot of men feel like they can't talk to their daughters. Well, I was the type of man that used to tell my daughter, oh, he got a tight car, huh? Oh, he got those fresh Jabos, huh? Oh, that's a bomb necklace, huh? He ain't going to do nothing but screw you, get you pregnant, and go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm the same one that told my daughters when I was incarcerated, if you screw a boy in the 9th grade, if you screw a boy in the 10th grade, if you screw a boy in the 11th grade, and you screw one in the 12th grade, that's only 4 boys. In this age and time, that's nothing. Right. 20 years later, the class reunion, they're going to say, that's Trinica, that's Charnel. She was a hoe in high school. So I told them, do you want to wear the label of a hoe? So this is how I talked to my children while I was incarcerated. And I tried to tell brothers, just because you don't get along with the child's mother don't mean nothing. She got a grandmother. She got a sister. She got a homegirl up the street. Write a letter to him. Send him a picture. Say, just get this to my son. So that's what I did. I wrote a lot of in the event of letters. And it just came to happen. It manifested with my sons certain things that I said of in the event of. And then I told them, as Berkeley men, we don't hit women. We open doors. We pull out chairs. We open car doors as Berkeley men. Those are my expectations. So that's what I did. And I used to try to tell brothers, and I used to always hear that same old rhetoric, oh, man, F that B. Okay, yeah, F her, if that's how you feel, partner. But it wasn't F her when you laid down and made them babies. It was F her, but it wasn't F her. You know, so that's what I did, you know. That's what worked for me.
Yeah, and another thing is when Brian came out of prison, he came out and just got on his grind, where there's people who has been out and just who has even been behind the walls and has not been as successful as you. You come out, you get your car, you get your own spot, you got a couple of jobs, you just got it going on, and now you got the podcast going, you're doing things, and these are the people who have not been behind the walls has not even done half of the things that you have done. But like you said, you had a plan, and when you come out with a plan, you put that plan into motion. Now, also, I see that Carver Park saluted you or told you congratulations, and what was that for?
I donated for the school supplies for kids in the community. You know, I donated a monetary amount for the children in the community. Mm-hmm. And we're having a Generations Day that are highlighting all the entrepreneurs out of the neighborhood shortly and things of that nature. So it was my way of giving back. I may not have much, but I'm a firm believer in, man, if you give something back to your community, it'll come back tenfold. And if you gave just $50 today, you're not going to miss that $50 next week.
Right.
If anything, you know, so that's what they saluted me for, because I gave back to the community, not $50. I'm not going to go into what I gave back, but more than $50.
Right.
You know, so.
Right, right.
That was that, you know. Y'all got to excuse me for 1 minute. See, I'm at work right now, and I'm clocking out, you know.
Okay.
I think just the thing,
okay.
I just think the thing with, while I was able to prevail coming home, is because a lot of people, and this is sad to say about us as a people, but a lot of people think certain jobs are beneath them. Okay.
Right.
I came home. I've never had a job. I came home, believe it or not, to separating shit. I worked at a waste management plant. My first 2 days there, I threw up. I had to put Vicks Vapor Oil in my nose. Vicks Vapor Rub in my nose in order not to throw up. But I sacrificed. And I've never had a job in my life. And I'm not proud.
Right.
I'm not saying that proudly. But I've never had
right.
a job. And I've lived better than the average citizen because I was a hustler. Yet, I realized, hey, man, you have to crawl before you walk. So when I came on, I saw all these guys that weren't doing anything. It's old saying, man, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And so from that point forward, I got a better job. Opened up my first company, Safe First Environmental Technicians, which is a COVID-19 combatant company. And when I was in the halfway house, it's sad to say, they wouldn't let me make it operational because they don't allow you to run a business in the halfway house. It's a deterrent mm-hmm. for you to be a regular citizen as far as I'm concerned. And I just stayed on point, man. I just refused to be deterred. I just couldn't understand the word can't. I didn't understand all the homelessness. The drug addicts, I understand, and the mentally impaired. But with the exception of that, I don't get it. I still don't get it.
Right.
You know, so I just stayed on my game plan, and I said, this thing could swim, man. You know, and if I could settle for 40 cents an hour in prison, then why couldn't I settle for $15
wow.
an hour now?
Right.
So I just stuck to the game plan. I didn't let anything deter me. And, yes, I worked at a dirty job that no one else wanted, and I got a couple of guys I knew there, and they quit the next day, and this is what they said, man, I ain't going to do this BS. So you'd rather go back and ask someone for money and this, that, or another than be a man. Because I look at it now as if you don't take care of your family without throwing voters at the penitentiary, there's something wrong with you. And that's not coming
right.
from a man that's reformed. It's just coming from an analytical man. Because
okay. I think he's getting in his vehicle because he did say he was dropping out, leaving work. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
We got you back?
Nah, this is me. No, this
yeah,
is me. I was
is,
asking, did we lose him?
Yeah, remember he said he was clocking out, so he's probably getting his, into his vehicle and getting ready
okay,
to.
Okay, I'm here.
So
I accidentally hit the mute.
Okay.
I accidentally
okay.
hit the mute.
Okay,
I am getting
okay,
in my vehicle.
Okay.
Oh, okay, there
but
you
no, I said I had voted for
okay.
My bad.
He's
you
be
know?
Open to my moves.
Yeah. I'm walking to my car now. But, you know, no, I said I wrote a piece before on one of my blogs, is your end game a dead end game? And that's another thing that mm-hmm. I had to analyze. Okay, after the cars, after the us in the game who want all the women, after us that want all the jewelry, which wasn't my thing, but all the fresh clothes because I'm vain and all that junk, then what's next? So is your end game a dead end game?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I saw out here when I hit the bricks, when I came home. So many brothers still had dead-end games, but so many brothers were just tragic to me.
And then whenever one of the key problems with us as men of color, melanated men, is when another man try to form something with you or tell you something, it's always, no, you just want to be the boss.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in that philosophy. Because when I initially came out of prison, my son was nearly 6 years old and taught me how to log on a computer. So I could learn anything from anyone.
Right.
Hello?
You know them oldies. I hear them oldies starting up.
Here, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear us?
I can hear you. I'm as you said, I'm in my car now, and I'm about to hook y'all up to where. Okay. All right, I'm good.
You good?
So, yeah, I'm good. I'm fine now. Everything's good.
Okay.
I can talk to you all the way home. Yeah, so.
Okay.
No, I just, like I said, I stuck to my guns. That's all I did coming on.
Yeah.
And I don't understand. I don't understand. I have a real big problem understanding our brothers, you know, who have been hustlers all their lives or what have not. And if they're not drug addicts, because I understand addictions, and if they're not mentally impaired, there's no excuse, man. And look at you, Queen, and look at Gene Luke. You made the transition to a whole different state in order to prosper.
Yeah.
So what excuse is it for anyone?
It's just what they are, excuses.
Yeah.
You know, they are excuses. That's just what they are, excuses. Everybody will find an excuse not to further themselves in life, you know.
Right.
And, you know, Bride D, why did you choose to be called Bride D? Why did you choose to be called Bride D rather than Bride O?
Well, my name is Brian Darnell anyway, right?
Right.
And because I'm so widely known as Bright Dog from Carver Park and all that junk to come with it, I said, well, if people are going to still refer to me as that, and if people are going to still say, you know, that's him, well, in order to inspire dudes and to give dudes a following that could relate to that lifestyle that I once led, I retained the name. And then as far as a nickname is concerned, it's appropriate, more appropriate to call a person, like if you introduce me to someone, you say, well, his name is Bride D. And I'm like, yeah, my name's Brian Darnell, you know, then it wouldn't be offensive. It would be understandable.
Right.
Like, yeah, you're LL Cool J, you know, okay, that's just your name. You know? So it coincides with my family name, yet it's a name that's introducible in my
He wanted to lose that gang name, that's all.
So, you know, because no matter what, a lot of people are still going to call me by that name. You know,
right.
Like I interviewed a guy, and he kept calling me that, right? I was interviewing Fred, gangster from Santana, and he kept Bright Dog, and I was
right.
You know, but we've been knowing each other over 40 years. That's from that title.
Right,
I call him Fred or gangster. I mean, he calls me Brian occasionally, but that shows how long our relationship is. But it's just some people
are
not going to alter what they call me. Alter what they call me.
Right.
So, you know, but I prefer Bride E. Anyway, it's nickel slick, huh, as my father used to say.
Look,
that's right.
And he used to say that as well, too. Like.
Uncle Watch, you say that?
Yeah. That was just something that they said. You know, they were like, they are so much alike. You know, all of them are so much alike. They don't even realize how they were so much alike, that they were so much alike. They didn't even realize that. And I know I'm repeating myself, but I'm saying it for a reason. They truly didn't know how much they were alike. But all of them are alike, from Uncle Braxton, Uncle Stephen, your dad, and my dad. They're just so much alike, and Grandfather Berkeley. So, yes. But Brian speaks Swahili as well, so I've been learning Swahili from Brian. And I've been brushing up on my Swahili because sometimes, because sometimes when we text, he'll say something to me in Swahili, and I'll be like, okay, he's making me step my game up, you know, so.
Right.
You know, Swahili is a, and our parents, they spoke Swahili as well. My dad spoke 7 languages. I don't know how many languages my uncle spoke, but I know Swahili is definitely one of them. So, yeah. But I'm going to let you take over, G, because you probably have some questions regarding, you know, the OG life. So I'm going to go ahead and let you take over.
Okay, thank you. Big Bri D, you there still?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Just making sure you were there. Okay. Brian, I wanted to ask you just to go back a little bit, you know, before your prison sentence just coming up in Compton, in Carver Park. Like, you know, Carver Park is definitely one of the oldest, you know, neighborhoods in Compton, you know. What was it like just for you coming up? Okay, I thought so. I didn't want to missay it, but I thought they were one of them. I did definitely know that. So, shout out to Carver Park. What was it like for you coming up, you know, in that neighborhood, man? Back in the day, in the good old days, man. You know what I mean? I'm sure it was some good times, man. How was it like for you coming up in the Carver Park area neighborhood?
See, the thing with us is the generation above us, which I'm the rear end of, the first generation, but I'm the second generation, is we looked up to the old L.A. hustlers. You know, that's truly when you could say the white man wouldn't let me have this or have that, okay? You could apply that.
Right.
But we looked up to the L.A. hustlers who every old hustler you've seen owned a restaurant or a quarter liquor store or duplexes. So it was a different era. And then our parents weren't scared of us. And then when we caught you slipping with your girl, we'd say, you got to pass. You know, it was certain perimeters. It wasn't buck wild.
Right.
So growing up, and then all we had was 22s, 38, 12 gauges. So death wasn't as it was when the crack era came, you know. So growing up, it was like I couldn't fight worth the shit. And that's why I became one of the first shooters. I take off and I fight.
But keep it real.
I couldn't fight.
Right.
I couldn't fight my way out of paper sack. You know, it used to be like, you whooped who? Oh, man.
Right.
You know he's going to.
Right.
Like, you
but I'm
going to
shoot your ass, though.
You know?
Right.
So,
right.
With me, it was, hello?
Hey.
Yeah, I'm here. We're here.
Okay.
We're here.
I was putting my, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Okay. With me, I became a shooter before it was popular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not proud
of
that. But I became the guy that if a dude said, you know, all of us call ourselves little this or little that. If a dude said, yeah, I just whooped Lil Brodog, you know, we used to be able to shout out our names and stuff because it wasn't all that snitching. And his homeboys would say, man, why you put your hands on him? And I'd jump on that blue moped. I had a poop maxi moped. I'd put about 30 shells in each pocket. And I'd go to have a idiotic field day, you know. So, and they just always like, they'll write off, we're going to get him. He shot such and such. And it became akin to a rock star with the reputation. You know, when you start having grown men looking at you and all these chicks. So it was just a different era, man. You know, I mean, I fought. Don't get me wrong. I won, but I think I lost more than I won. But I did my thing. Don't get it fucked up now. I'll fire on you quick. You know, I wasn't done yet. You know, because the older homies used to make us squad with each other in the park and go body. But we had to go body. And so, like I said, it was a different era, man. It wasn't an era of, you know, the way these kids are today. You know, and that's, they are kids, man. And with the influx of drugs in the 80s came the weapons, man, and that's what destroyed everything, man, the drugs, man, the cocaine. That's what I really think destroyed our communities, man. You know, I don't care what nobody says, man. And I don't
pretty
say
fair
that's
to say.
What, you know, and I don't take nothing from today's youth as far as the ones that are into that lifestyle, but, man, y'all ain't nothing like we was. Everybody wore color. The Crip did.
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah.
dudes.
Yeah.
Off that, the strings with the blue 501s, khakis and Chuck. You know, these skinny jean wearing duck tattoos.
Okay, I was about to ask you. So it's safe to say we ain't going to see Big Bright Hog in those skinny jeans no time soon, are we? Just making sure. I'm just making sure.
I can't even imagine that.
I'm going to tell you what my wardrobe is. I own 4 pairs of sneakers because I don't wear 10. I have X amount of pairs of Stacey Adams, like the Wallabies. That's what I rock. And I have Stacey Adams, you know, dress shoes. I'm a Stacey Adams man.
Right.
All my suits are Stacey Adams. All right,
okay.
That's what I rock, you know. And,
okay.
But everyday wear, jeans. I'm a casual pair of Levi 501s, man. If we had a black company that made jeans that are not skinny jeans, I'd rock 501s.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
But I wear regular 501s, man. That's my thing. I have every color 501s. I wear just regular button-down shirts. I'm a plain Jane dude, man, because I don't need a $300 name on my rear end. You know, that's
$300
that can go to grandbabies, you know.
That's right.
And
that's
I ain't
right.
Never seen a man and lift his shirt up and say, what kind of jeans are you wearing? You know, that was a commercial.
Right.
Are those Bugle Boys? Wasn't no real
Bugle Boys.
Right?
Yeah.
Are those Bugle Boys? You better get your hand up off me when you get that right with my no fight. You know, but.
That's right.
But, you know, I'm just being real, man, you know, so. No, I would never wear no skinny jeans. And I don't understand the sagging. You know,
I don't understand either, bro. I don't understand.
You know,
the crazy thing, the sag, like you said, sagging was always a problem. Now I'm older, I could definitely see that that's disrespectful, even me as a youngster. But we didn't do it like that. But the thing that kills me now that they wearing the skinny, they sagging with the skinny jeans. How do you do that?
And they showing the whole thing.
All you see is ass. They be in the store. It'd be so embarrassing. I'll see a youngster just in the store just showing his whole ass, and it'd be people behind. We in a line. And the youngster just got his whole ass out, man. It's just totally disrespectful.
But, man, you believe it or not, bro, I just did 18 years. I ain't never swang with a man. Never will, never have. I don't knock what you do in your bare room. That's between you and your people. But the Crip cars that I ran, and everybody didn't know me, no, I ran the Crip car in Leavenworth. I ran the Crip car in Pollock. I ran the Crip car in Beaumont. I ran the Crip car in Alabama. I pushed the line. I had 3 rules.
Right.
You fuck with a boy, I'm coming to get you. If you mess with somebody's dope, I'm coming to get you. And if you owe people, I'm coming to get you. I'm not sending a homie. I'm coming, and I don't know how to fight. That's what I used to tell a homie. So I understand. Huh?
I said, so they know how you coming then.
Yeah, they already knew how I was coming. I done came like that several times in the feds. So they are. But the thing is, it wasn't to be violent. It was just to push a line. And it wasn't no sagging like that with me when we was out of town. Because my thing was, you're around 5,000 sex-starved men. Why are you advertising the contours of your buttocks, for one? And you have men that just, that's what they do. I'm not one into that. And I don't knock it. Like I said, it's each his own. You know, I'm not into gay bashing. I don't fear them or nothing. I'm not phobic, which phobe means fear. Nah, I got some good partners that's homosexuals. I just don't swing that way, you know. And so I didn't understand that. And then for security purposes. How you going to, if a dude pull your pants down, then he going to work you afterwards? I'm not talking about sexually. I'm talking about he'll stab you from head to toe once he pull your pants down. So I don't understand these young dudes on the streets. Where you going to put a gun at if you into that lifestyle? Well, how you a Billy Badass if an old dude like me just walk up to you and pull your pants down? Now your pants around your ankles. The dude who couldn't fight could beat the crap out of you now. So I don't understand it, you know. And what would you look like going to an office party with your girlfriend or wife or whatever who works for a corporate 500 company, and she brings her dude with all the contours of his buttocks hanging out, like his flop.
Right,
I don't get it, man.
Right.
I don't.
Hey, but Bri, check this out. Bri, check this out. At the same time, I don't get it either. I don't like it. I think it's despicable, you know. But check this out, though. On the flip side, it makes you think, though, what are the young ladies thinking? Because obviously, it's okay with them if these dudes doing it. The young ladies ain't hip them and say they don't like that or whatnot. They doing it. So that's making me think these young ladies out here think it's okay as well. I don't know. I'm confused.
But it's not okay. I'm gonna speak as a woman.
No, I'm saying these young. I know you. I know you think that, Queen. I'm saying them young girls. It's making me think they think
the
it's okay.
Yeah.
I know you don't like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, but check this out.
Because that's who they impress. That's who dudes impress. We know that, bro. Dudes dress and do all that shit to impress a female. So, you feel me? I don't know.
Yeah. But, no, this is where that comes from. When you look at a dude, a young basketball player that just signed a $90 million shoe endorsement, and he's sagging,
mm-hmm.
and he's hanging out with the little weirdo rappers who fake like they live our lifestyle. They would have been cool if they just balled. I'm gonna tear them out on the show of mine. But, anyway.
Right.
And so he sees that young dude in the urban area that's jumping out of a whatever foreign car with jury from here to the moon, but he's living at home with mama or some girl, nothing in his name, but he's hustling hard in that world. So she thinks of that basketball player that she's being saturated with from the media or that football player or that rapper who looks just like he looks with his pants hanging off his rear end. So to her, she associates that with my bills could be paid, my nails could get done.
Mm.
Ooh, if he's my dude, I'm
cool. Yeah.
So I don't care that he's showing the contours of his buttocks because such and such does it as a rapper. Such and such does it who just
signed
that $90 million shoe deal. Shoot.
Right.
He's doing it on the pocket. Look what he jumped out of. I don't care about that.
Mm.
So she's mentally bankrupt because she has one focal point the media is saturating her with. You know?
Mm.
So That's why it's acceptable to her. So it becomes a norm. It becomes an ingrained part
mm-hmm.
of the fabric of her mental mind. That it don't matter if he's showing his butt out. And it's not just sisters that are, I'm not going to say it's sisters that are functionally illiterate. It's other sisters because every woman in the world wants the same thing, security.
Mm.
Yes, we have independent sisters.
Yes,
we have sisters that say, man, I'm doing this. And I applaud them. But it takes two. And some sisters, they accept a piece of a man. They don't accept a full man because they can say they grumpy. He's my man. He might be a piece of a man, but he's my piece of a man.
Right.
So they going to accept expressive like that.
Mm.
And
that's very true.
See, I got a social and behavior science. And I had a lot of years to do introspect, retrospect, outspect, inspect, and everything about us as a people and why we accept certain things. I had to ask myself why for years I see women in the world. But I only see one sister on the cover of the magazine when we're a world color majority. I said something wrong with that picture. So a lot of brothers, that's why United Streets of America, it's a not only that, it's an enlightenment. We cover all areas. We have the conscious community. We have the hip-hop community. We have Generation Now. You know, and it's the same thing with your show. You turn people on to retro, as they say, hip-hop, current hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
The music, listen to their grandmama, that they gonna listen to some dramatic. Say, I remember my grandmama used to play that, and then they'll actually listen to the lyrics of a song. And then when they got little mom somewhere, they think Nickel Slick, you know, they gonna play that like, and she's like, I don't want to hear that. They gonna say, listen to the lyrics, baby. Two show. That's what my grandmama used to play. That's why I got 10 uncles and aunties. You know. That's what I'm saying. So it's a repetitive thing. But think about it.
That's right.
We just don't have, we just don't have any R&B singers that are really putting it down. And they start.
We don't have, look. No, look, that's a problem too. We don't really have R&B as you would say it anymore. Look, all the R&B you hear now, Big Bright, I'm sure you don't listen to the current stuff. You listen to oldies anyway, but all the R&B you hear is still going to be on the oldie station or something. You don't hear R&B as you know it these days. I mean, it's really not. Even the R&B singers, they low-key rap. You know what I mean? Or they're talking so raunchy, it's not about love anymore. They got to bleep half the song out of an R&B record. When did they start doing that where they got to bleep the lyrics out of R&B song? That's where we're at right now.
You know, it's funny, man. Because my last 2 years of incarceration, I picked brains of dudes coming in that were young. Because of the generation that grew up with, I used to ask them, when was the last time you slow danced? 9.5 out of 10, like, slow dance, what the hell is that?
But they don't even know what that is.
Like, wow.
They don't do that no more.
Like,
right, that's what I'm saying. They don't do that no more.
Yes.
They not, a club where they have a section where they start playing some slow music. That's not going to happen no more.
Yeah, so... it's like a generation of self gratification and a generation of illusions. And I just feel this man. See, somebody said one day on a comment, "You old dudes act like you're trying to tell us what to do." I ain't trying to tell you what to do, man. I told the dude, I responded to the comment, and I said, "Let me tell you the messed up thing about being old. The only effed up thing about getting old is not getting old. So you need to listen to us, old dude." See, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, bro. I'm just trying to tell you don't be me. And then have to wait till you get this age to realize that you shouldn't have been me. So then somebody else, they all jumped on them like, they ain't trying to tell you what to do.
Right. So, It's a big disconnect. That's the thing too. I want to ask you, Brian, and kind of break this down too. I want to add kind of in three parts. I want to ask you first. You know, you coming home after 18 years, things have changed dramatically. But you being in the Fed joint, I'm sure you were able to kind of see the transformation and see things, see the kids coming in and out, and see what's going on. But still, to come outside to it when you come out of here and see the dramatic change from what I'm sure when you went in. And not only with everything in the culture, like you said, the dress, how these youngsters act, and how they gangbang funny, and just everything. But on top of that, speaking on these youngsters, just like you said, how they act and how they treat, it's obviously a disconnect and a gap there. You know, so to the youngsters' credit, where do we blame? Like, what do we have to take? We have to take some type of responsibility for that, because obviously a lot of these youngsters obviously weren't raised right. You know what I mean? And or probably didn't have a dad there, or whatever the case may be. You know what I mean? But so what do you attribute to all of that kind of just coming home from 18 years and seeing the change, and what do you attribute that to what you see out here now?
I attribute it to twofold in this area on the parenting. A lot of grandmothers had to raise because of the crack. You know, a lot of grandmothers don't keep the one as that grandbabies. My mother had to raise a couple of them, all right? So, all of us. So they gave a lot of leeway to the grandbabies because they felt everything I tried with their mama and daddy didn't work, so I'm going to let this one do basically what they want to do. Now, the grandbabies grew up, right? They in their 30s now, right? The grandbabies, I ain't got this because they in a moment of IT. So I can show my baby this computer. I can show my baby this game board. I can throw my baby this. So my baby now growing up on Grand Theft Auto. My baby's growing up on Grand Theft Killing. That's desensitizing my baby. So now my baby is desensitized to all this violence, and I'm not paying attention to it because I'm too busy chasing some girl, or she too busy wanting to go to the club chasing some dude to pay the bills, or she's too busy in school, or I'm too busy working two jobs because I'm stuck with my two children because their mama's not up to par. So now I've got my kids sitting in front of the TV instead of the good old-fashioned go outside and play. There's no go outside and play.
Wow.
It's now the grandmother's
no
and the mother
no more.
And father. Yeah. So my child is safe. Not saying you live in a screwed-up neighborhood, but you're in an era of pedophiles and things of that nature. My child is safe looking at TV or playing a game, and I'm not monitoring the game because it's glued to my child's face, but I'm going to see my child and see how many kills he can get on Call of Duty. So now when my child goes outside, my child is desensitized to violence because my child is programmed. And then when my child goes to school, the school tells my child, if your daddy hits you, let us know. So now the school is conditioning my child from schoolyard pipeline to the prison pipeline based on the fact that I can't discipline my child. So my child could do what the hell he wants to do. So that's what I blame it on. Not lacking us in our communities, lacking in the household, but lacking the way that society is now set up on, you can't touch your child, you don't want your child around all these weirdos that you hear about and all this craziness, so you put your child in front of this, so when your child turns 12, 13 years old, and his buddy say, I got my daddy's gun, or I got my grandfather's gun, and he shoots somebody in the head, instead of your child saying, ugh, he said, what the, ooh, man, you smoked him. Because he's been looking at it since he's a baby.
That all every day. Right.
So
wow.
I blame we need to deprogram our kids. You know, like a guy interviewed tonight, man, he's doing his solo bowl. I applaud his brother named LaTroy Timms, who has a shop called Hip Hop Fashion in Mojave. He's sponsoring 7 football teams of the juveniles up there, man, on his own.
Mm.
If that ain't the fact, that's part
salute
of the
that
we
brother.
Look at, you know,
salute
and
to that
on
right
my show,
there. Salute to that.
Incorporated host from here on out, and I told her, keep him going. I got to go get on the Gene Lou show. And we live stream this brother tonight. So it takes more men like that. So when you look at, when you really be analytical of why are the children like this today, and then incorporate the synthetic drugs. Every time you see certain rappers, they got a cup of some lean. Or they talking about Miles doing a rap career. So you expect that. Or they talking about how they was flying off the X. Or how good they sex game is off the X. So it's more graphic now in the synthetic drugs. They take those, and then I call X a snitch pill, because they all go to jail, and they tell everything, and then when they get in the holding tank on, he told everything. You're like, man, you know I was high. On me. Oh, yeah, you was high. But we got 9,000 years was high, and he able to walk a main line. So it's just so many different elements of response to that question. You know? You got a generation that, like I said, that was raised by, my generation dropped the ball. We did. We did. And any man my age that sit up here and say different that was in those streets, you're damn lying. We were just as addicted to the money as we were to the drugs.
Yep.
So we didn't care about anything. And then the draconian sentences that we received took us out of the households to where, whether we was with the woman or not, it would have been always, I always heard this when I didn't live with my father. I'm going to call your daddy. That was like, I got a D. Okay, I can.
Right.
But it just was.
Right, right. Yeah, you used to be scared of your parents. You used to be scared of your parents, for sure. That's what's changed now.
Yeah, and it changed because, okay, I had to tell my son Darnell, you know, sold in paradise. I had to tell him one day, I told my son Brian. The mama got mad. I told Darnell, I said, you get tired of hearing me say this to you, huh? He's like, yeah. I said, you think just because I'm in jail, you can't be touched, huh? So I got Brian on the phone. I said, you listen to me and listen to take off from your brother right now. Drop the phone. So I hear his mama, hit them for. What you hit them for? I said, put her on the phone. She got on the phone. I said, because I told her. And then I said, put Darnell on the phone. I said, can you get, you think I can't touch it? Darnell pumped his grades up to him.
Wow.
And she didn't touch. That's a true story. Talk to my son Brian, he'll tell you. He dropped the phone, took off on his brother per my orders, and he showed his brother, you can get touched. So it became, when I talked to Darnell, I tell Brian. And Brian had the hand, he still got the hand. I don't know, he got it from his mom, but he got a hand. He got outstanding hand. And so when I told Darnell, you could be touched by Brian, Darnell flew right. As far as academics.
Because he knew it was right there. He knew he could be touched.
So locked up, the grandmamas were saying things they didn't mean to say, you're going to be just like your daddy if you. And for the ones that wasn't there with the grandmama, you had the sister saying, watch, you're going to be just like your daddy. And it doesn't matter if the daddy was doing right or wrong if he wasn't in the household. It was just a matter of what was indoctrinated in that child, man. You know, mothers now home that tell their kids, go get on your PlayStation, leave me alone. You know, I made my grandson 2 paper airplanes a week ago. He'd never seen a paper airplane. He couldn't get enough of them.
Is this Charnel son?
You know, I had to sit up to damn near 9 o'clock with him throwing paper airplanes outside. But I enjoyed it. Every day he had his little tablet playing games. And I said, let me make you a paper airplane, man. He said, what's that, senior? I said, watch, I'm going to show you, man, because he calls me senior. And I'm like, I'm going to show you what a paper airplane is. And he fell in love with it.
Wow.
He's so IT,
hey,
and he lost the...
No, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead, Queen.
Oh, I thought she was getting ready to say something.
No, I just said we so IT that we lost the basics with kids.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
You know.
That's
all.
I was going to ask you this too, Bride. Another thing about the kid, one more thing about the youngsters, and I'm going to get off of that. But now we're in an age where, well, you even seen it too, probably when you were still locked up. But we're in an age of technology and the internet and computers, really this internet, ain't even computers, internet, where now this is taking things to a whole other level, how these youngsters communicate, get out, do their stuff, put their business out there, whatever, all the way up to the point where we're seeing people being killed on live TV, live internet. You know, what do you think about that part? You know, the gift and the curse about this internet thing.
Okay, two things that stick out in mind, and I'm not going to give them the glorification of saying their neighborhoods, even though I'm cool with them.
Right.
Last month, a kid was up in like Hesperia or something, from a rival gang in Compton, whooping that crap. Some other kids took the hour some journey because he was on the internet. See, they talk about the other kid out of Compton in Inglewood, but anyway, they rolled up there and knocked him because one of the kids recognized the female he was with and said, "Man, she lives in the high desert." And they went up there and smoked this kid. You know, the kid was a
boy,
and he smoked him, right? So yes, cursed, but he had been getting on the internet whooping.
Yeah.
Okay, just to go another cat. Been whooping on the internet talking about the score is this and the score is that. He was saying the score is this and the score is that, showed the address to where he was at standing in front of, and some cats went over there, and now he's no longer with us. So I think it's a tragedy.
Right.
And I think that these dudes don't realize what they're doing, like the kid that got smoked live on the internet. Somebody asked me and one of my boys that about on an interview, and we told it's not our business, and someone in the community commented, it is your business because it's your community. And what they didn't see in the grasp is, if we commented on it, it would further create more havoc in the community because dudes would say, what they doing commenting on it? That's our homeboy. So it's sad, man. It's sad, man. And the good thing about Compton is a few warring factions have come together and they agreed not to do any more internet gangbang. Because it's dudes who up saying, oh, they said this about you. I mean, I just went through an internet thing where I didn't respond because I wasn't giving the dude that much power over me. And he said all kind of foul. I said I was screwing boys in prison. And anyone that knows me knows dog don't get out like that. Never have, never will. I ain't never did it with a woman. What the hell I'm going to do it with a man for? Shit.
Right.
You know? That a butt is a butt, a mouth is a mouth. You got to be sick. That's just my belief. Nothing against you gay people. That's my belief only. I'm entitled to that. Okay? But I'm entitled to my belief. Don't knock you. So got to put the disclaimers. That's the era we live in. You know? So I'm just saying that the internet can be dangerous because, you know, I'll touch on this a little bit. A guy was saying that this state couldn't come to that state and vice versa, and I had to go there to show that there's no beef between these two states because you can get some 14-year-old kid from one state who will kill the kid from another state who's visiting his people just because he believes the rhetoric on the internet. So the internet is dangerous,
man. That's what I'm saying. That's another thing. That the internet is even having people like that do what they do when initially they started off with a positive message. But now, you know, I don't know, the internet or the fame or the cloud or whatever turns them into this person, and they think they can just do that behind their camera because, you know, it's safe. You know, and then they stirring up. It's crazy how they can stir up so much shit between a whole bunch of people and even in-house fighting and amongst homies over this type of shit.
That's true because, you know, like, okay, this is a good thing that a guy said to me. Just yesterday, a guy called me up. He said, man, I went on your website. This guy knows. He said, you know, I don't really do the internet thing. Somebody pulled my coat. Somebody sent this, that, and another about you on the web, on the internet.
Right.
I said, yeah. And it made me go on your site. He said, I subscribed to him. He said, I didn't know you was doing all everything you doing once you went on my website. And I was like, yeah,
right.
You know, everything from grind to, you know, different little things of spirituality, the writings I have on there about the nod, canvases, paint, a canvas of your life, how it's your, you know, different things. So what it did was it made a few people come to my website and subscribe because they wanted to see who the man
was. Right,
right.
So that was the positive out of it. Yeah.
So if I said FG Lou when he walked by and he didn't know I said it, G. Lou got that much control over me to where I'm entertaining
right.
the negative
right.
thoughts about him to say something. But if G. Lou don't respond or if G. Lou doesn't know I said it, who's really being hurt?
Right.
So I don't do social media spat. I'm not going to spat with a man. I'm going to give you where I live at in private on a direct DM or whatever you call that, and we can meet up, baby. Oh,
right.
and I want to pull up on you. I don't know how to fight.
So you know how I'm coming. You need to make a song. You know how I'm coming. You already know.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. But I just feel like it's that because my situation even could have opened me up for some young dude who believes that rhetoric, and by me being in that particular state with a Compton hat on, Compton made hat on, Compton shirt, some youngster could have been like, "Oh, I got one from Cali." It could have flipped me. It's that rhetoric. It could have been the same
but
thing.
But the thing is, I've learned with that, I don't think it goes that deep with what we're worried about. I don't give a fuck. See, what you're going to have is a dude like that, it makes your ratings go up, your views, and you're blowing up 30,000 views. But all those are really just people entertained. They want to watch the show, and they're going to be right there to watch you when you crash, too, or get smoked, or whatever's going to happen when it happens, doing all that bullshit. They just right there to see the show. It don't necessarily mean they riding for him or they going to do what he say. And come on, man, this little, you know, I don't think that's what the internet does. But like you said, it causes confusion, though, and things of that nature where people are confused. And now you think somebody way over there got a problem with homies way over here. You feel me? And all this type of shit. And just because some people are just woofing on the internet.
That's true, but look, watch this. Tell me if you disagree or agree with this. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to touch on this, but I'm not going to mention that clown's name because it's not working. But
right.
I am inspired by the iconic figure of Nipsey, not because he's from 6'10" with S on the
now.
Not because he's from the trenches, not because he was authentic, none of that, because that's a million of us in the city. What I am inspired by, motivated by, what's so iconic is he took Generation Now STEM programs, coding programs. He showed a whole United States of urbanites, pull your money together, buy something in your hood. It's yours for the taking. Get legal.
Yeah.
It don't matter if I'm tattooed from head to toe with this on me. You can do it because I did it, and I'm showing you the architectural design. So that man right there is a legacy, legend, iconic figure. The brother.
Come on, Al. We love your cousin will tell
Now, check game, though. Now you get some kid from another state that's disrespecting him, disrespecting as a kid who doesn't know no better. And now this kid comes to California and wearing that particular state jersey on, and a kid that's 15 years old from 60s is on 60th, a world-renowned Crenshaw looking at the lowrider, and he sees this kid with this jersey on, and he says, "Where you from, homie?" Dude say, "I don't bang." He said, "Where you from?" "Oh, I'm from." And then he kills him, the young 16, and go tell his homies, "I got one," or "That was for Nip."
That's become
a reality. So I was to circumvent it on saying that brothers from our way can go out that way, and that's not how the general public feels. Don't bite into the rhetoric of an internet. That's what I went out there for. Not to confront the clown. I can care less about the clown. But it just dispels some young kid on Crenshaw.
But this same guy was at Nip's funeral, though. Come on, man. This same guy was at Nip's funeral, though, and all of this and all praises then. So, I mean, we got to pay more attention, though, too. You know what I mean? Because the people that are watching this, you got to pay attention to what's really going on out here. Don't be swayed and don't get caught up in entertainment as well, because we all fall victim. Some of this shit is just entertainment, and we're watching people just crash right in front of
us. I wholeheartedly agree, and I understand that. It's just that it was so many different rumblings because I know a lot of cats from out of the Crenshaw area, right?
Right.
And there's some conversing, and they were, "Man, F these dudes." And I was like, "Homie, I just left a gang of them dudes in the bed. They cool as a fan." And they're like, "Nah, this MF is this, that, and other." And I was like, "Damn, they really taking this to heart." But I'm like, sticks and stones may break my bones, you know. I'm up under that act. You know, you can say everything about me as long as you don't touch me. you know, as long as you don't put your hands on me, you know, then that's when the repercussions. As long as you don't come up in my
that's
home.
That's what we was taught.
You know, so you know, basically, you know, like I remember a dude told me, F Compton. I said, yeah, F Compton. I did a lot of dirt to dudes in Compton. And what, you got anything else? And the dude didn't know what to say.
Right.
You know, but yeah. So what you saying? So I understand that, and I understand acts, and I understand chasing paper and subscribers and clicks. And I understand the whole theatrics of it. And but it negates now to me everything that you were doing positive for the community. So that's all it was with me, man, was, you know, just to show to stop that 14-year-old from killing that 14-year-old. Now you tried as an adult with an M number, and you washed up at Pelican Bay, and now the ripple effect is on his family over the rhetoric of some clown who you couldn't see through the forest, through the trees, that he's just a clown to get bread. You know, but
right.
When you're 14, you don't think like that, because I put my mind in a 14-year-old mind frame. If I saw on the wall too many times this set crossing out Carver, I made it my business to go over there with that 22 and bust on him.
Right.
Because I fed it to the
rhetoric. Right.
Because no matter what you say, a particular mindset is still that of a 14-year-old. He goes, most 14-year-olds, I don't care what you say and how tough you are and how desensitized you are. You're going to scream for Nana or Mama when you get in a certain position, and Mama can't help you now, Negro. You know, so you're still a child at 14, but you have the mentality of you think you're a man. But you're not.
Right.
So that's
right.
My whole
right.
purpose was. Nothing else, nothing more. And you know, so enough on that clown. Can we flip the script? Turn
yeah, enough
the
of that.
Yeah.
Right, enough of that. Hey, Brian, I want to ask you one more thing, because I kind of started off going back on the history and you coming up in Carver and all that, first generation, second
right.
generation, early, and being the first hood, first crib hood in Compton, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right at the top. But I want to ask you this, on the flip side of that, how was that Carver Park growing up there? Because the dynamic and difference with Carver Park is you guys are right there next to Watts and kind of beef with the Nickersons and all of that. When people in Compton had their own Compton thing, and it was more so, but you guys were over here kind of dealing with that. What was the dynamic and the difference from that and you guys coming up in that time right there?
First off, when I came up, every Carver Park was 10 bounty hunters. That's the first thing. And
right.
a lot of the Compton sets, with the exception of the Grannies,
mm-hmm.
didn't want to come over to Carver Park because they look up the street and say, man, the Nixon's up the street.
right.
We used to like, and we used to that, right? It was Palm Lane originally, you know, over there. My father's out of Palm Lane.
Right.
So it was basically like, if you remember the old Star Trek where they had the force field where you couldn't penetrate it, them bounty hunters couldn't come across the period. You know, we had fighters. We had squadrons. That was that era. And I was just reading a dude named King Baba Louis, so it was originator of Pyrus, and he said the first dudes to take off on them at Centennial was the Carver Parks. You know, I was just reading the brother's book, right? And so coming up, what we used to say in the gang world as far as Los Angeles, and this is not because that's the area you originated from, but we used to say, man, them 60s be pumping their homeboys up since they like 10 years old. It's broke the 60s, like they some just hell of motherfuckers, you know. But that's how 60s older generation indoctrinated their homies. And with Carver Parks, it was the same thing with us. We were indoctrinated with the bounty hunters. So what, they got us outnumbered. You're going to pick up a brick, stick a bottle, and deal with it. You better not run. And so our older homeboys made us go body all to fight each other, you know, and not on to have animosity with each other. So growing up like that in that era, man, it was like the older dudes knew what Carver Park was and where we were and how strong we were as a small set. It was the dudes my age to be, man, y'all, projects, ain't that bounty on the hood over there? Because we have two sides of the hood. I'm from the park side, which is over by the projects. You know, but I grew up 120, and a lot of homies used to say, that's like saying you're from 10th Ave and you lived in Over Hill. And they used to be like, no pun, you know what I mean, homie.
It's all one. That's why I asked that, because to me that made you guys a little different, really stronger to have to deal with that, man. You know what I mean? The whole Nickerson,
See, we start off with rock fights with them dudes. That's why we all know each other first and last names. because we used to be in the field having rock fights with them cats, you know. It was a big old field. Then it went to the watch parades. So I can roll call their name, Bobby Fields, Big Will Paschal, Joe Valentine, Craig Dowling, full names.
Right.
And they know I'm Brian Burke. Before I was Bright All, this Brian Burke, punk ass hit me in the head with a rock. You know?
Right.
And that's how it was.
Yeah.
So it was different. And even though we became adversaries in the tribalism, it was like growing up, it was like, man, like I said, man, I remember a pig asked me, and I still call them pigs, asked me, who you over here to see? Who? I said, well, pick a house. I said, Miss Taylor lives right there. I can go in that yard. Miss Johnson lives right there. I can go in that yard. Mr. Pulliam lives right there. I can go in that yard. Paul Pulliam lives right there. I can go in that yard. So we all knew each other. It was different, you know. And I don't know, man. It was a normality, man. It wasn't. See, a lot of people think that it was just a gang thing, but you can live on 52nd Street, and y'all got into it with the dudes on 89th Street. Then when you go to the movies and the dudes on 89th Street see the guys on 52nd Street, just because you live over there, you're going to rock with who you fuck with. And so it's going to be the 89th Street dudes jumped on the 52nd Street dudes or vice versa. So it's just all tribalism no matter where we live at in urban areas. It's just like the brothers in Northern California say we don't bang. Let your butt be from West Oakland and get called East Oakland or get called the murder.
Right. It's all the same shit. Yeah, it's all the same shit. It's just how it's categorized and named. But it's the same thing.
Yeah, so with us, it was schools. I went to Willowbrook, you went to Vanguard, rivalry. You know, cats on the other side of county went to Roosevelt, you went to Wayne, rivalry. You know, went to the Shaw, this cat went to Manual Arts, rivalry. You know, that's all it was. You know, so
right.
I want to ask
your cousin, your first cousin, Queen Jean. How was it? Coming up, being your first cousin, I don't know how you guys, if you lived around it, or I'm sure you spent some time together as youngsters. How did you remember your cousin? Did you know he was from Carver Park and what he was into and all that, Queen?
Yeah, because I was going to ask him, actually, how was it coming up with his siblings who are Bloods, and he was the only Crip in the family.
Okay. We didn't get it. We didn't get to that.
Yeah.
We didn't get to that yet, Bri.
What happened with that? Now, check this out. This is the funny part, right? This is really funny. My brother, up under me, moved to West Side Park Roodhood when he was like 13 or 12. He wasn't indoctrinated yet. And my cousin lived over there who was a Piru. And I got a lot of cousins in Piru. And so he turned him out. So I had went to juvenile hall or something to that effect, and I was gone for months. I was fighting a case in the halls. And then I ended up getting what's called Ricardo M. So I came home from the halls, and my brother told me, what's up, Blood? And I fired on him. Foul, straight to the mouth.
Was this Ollie?
Yeah, this Ollie. Now, Ollie could beat me up, but that big brother, little brother syndrome stopped all that, right? And he said, what's up to me? And so he grabbed his mouth, man, I'm a fire room. Like, you a what? You know, because I had been gone. You know, I was in LP, you know, for a minute. So it was strange. And then my cousin Cecil, he ended up with a dude one day. They bust on me. And I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
And so it was like, all right, they want to play like this, I'm busting on them whenever I catch any of them. And so it was just so indoctrinated with that madness, man, that it supersedes everything in your life. But, you know, and as far as Jean, it's always my fine cousin. That's my Uncle Watson's daughter. She's fine. You know, she don't know it, but somebody else, they going to find out a little quiet dog, her first going to be a problem. So, personally, it's like my homeboy Moose at our job, right? We worked together, right? He said I was a reputation chaser. What I was, I used to go downtown L.A., all the buses, the 84 ran up Western, the number 5 ran up Western, the 75 ran up Venice. I can to this day remember them. The 85 ran up Vermont, the 75 ran up Venice, you know, so on and so on, the number 2, the number 92, the 33. I used to go to all those buses and go to the back of them and write my name on it, right? I'd write my name on all the back of the buses. And then the next day, I'd steal me a car because I didn't have a car. I'd ride all the way up down Western all night long spray painting my name. All up and down San Pedro, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then I'd go up to Fremont High, Crenshaw High with a shirt and say, Lil Breadog. And they'd say, you Breadog? I'm like, it's Bry, only like by, like east side, right? And so I built my rep. And then I met with the girls in that neighborhood. Like, I remember one time I went on 94th and Broadway. A bunch of Hoovers over there. I jumped out. I was messing with a girl over there. I walked up to them. I said, where y'all from, cuz? And they looked at my 5'7", butt, 120 pounds, and said, what? I said, where y'all from, cuz? I'm from Breadog. And one of them said, you don't want to be writing your name everywhere? I'm like, yeah, who y'all don't get along with? Lifted up my shirt. So we crossed up under the bridge and went and bust on some cats and came back. It's crazy. And so I started a reputation. Different than me and my blood cousins. I became the rep. And my cousin Cecil told me at that time a lot of bloods couldn't walk certain main lines in prison. He said, man, I went to the pen and they was going to fuck me up. And I said, man, bright off my cousin. They told me, all right, as long as you here, shut up and stay in the corner.
Because Sebo had mouth. Sebo was going to protect himself by any means necessary with his wordplay.
Yeah, so and it became where my sisters couldn't have a boyfriend, you know. My daughter, Trinica, could tell you when she got into high school, all these bum rush, you know, that's a big homie daughter. You can't talk to her, you know.
That's
like
right,
that.
G. Lou. Trinica is Trey.
Yeah.
You say what? Oh, okay, okay.
When you say Trinica, that's
shout out to Trey, baby.
She's speaking of.
Shout out to Trey, baby.
So, that's my daughter. Yeah, so by my family being bloods, and then what was a tragedy, this is how big my family is. I came home from school one day, and Pop's waiting at the pad, trying to roll me up. I'm like, what's up, man? But I didn't go to school that day. I ditched. One of my homeboys shot my cousin in the head. I didn't know the dude was my cousin. Hell, I probably would have shot the dude if I had an opportunity. He used to be fired out. You know, but that just shows how you get so entrenched in the neighborhood thing that you
forget your relative.
You know, it was a trip, man, because I got cousins that ran the Cabbage Patch in Carson. They fire rules. I got a cousin in Eagle with family. I got West Side fire rule cousins. You know, I got a lot of cousins, and it was a trip I used to see them, and I started, you know, really getting them. These are first cousins. And I used to.
Like both sides.
Y'all got a big y'all got a big family, man. Seriously.
Look, man, I just okay, we pushed to a park, me and three homeboys. And I jumped out the stage and I was walking up on a dude and I was giving it to him. I was 16 and then I came back to the car. And my homeboys used to me being distributed, like, man, what happened? I said, man, that's my cousin. He said, man, that ain't your cousin. That's my cousin's brother named Troy. And I said, that's my cousin, man. And then I seen Troy later on, and I said, you didn't see me up at Sand Park. He said, you got back in the car. I said, yeah, man. That's what I told you. You know, but that just goes to show how big the family is. You know, I got cousins in
from both sides.
On both sides. So, so it was a trip, but I was the Crip that stuck out. I was the one that stuck out because I was the asshole, you know, bottom line. I was the asshole. I was the reputation. You know, shoot, I even know, who do I know over there? Rest in peace, my main man, Slep Rock from over there, C-Dog, C-Dub, Ice off of 59th Ave, off of 59th over there, off one of them avenues. Got Rip Rider, man, C-Note. These are all 60s. I know just so many 60s. Roscoe, Lil Cat from over here, Ryan Long. Kev Mack don't realize that he know me, but we was locked up. He told me he was going to get out and be a comedian.
You ain't been on Kev's show yet?
Now, a couple people have invited me. I'm going to make my way, you know, because me and Melly Mel, we are co-founders of, you know, what I'm doing. But, yeah, so, you know, I know so many cats over your way. It's just like,
hey,
man, I've been going all night.
And how did you meet Melly Mel? That's what I wanted to know. How did you guys hook up?
Okay.
I had been knowing about Melly Mel from my younger days. Bear in mind, Melly Mel's older than me. Right?
Right.
When things Melly Mel older than everybody. Just wouldn't think that. Melly Mel,
yeah,
old man, but he's
age.
Young.
Melly Mel and I are. Yeah, we're the same age.
Mel, yeah, okay. So, shout out to Mel. Go ahead, bro.
So Turtle literally kidnapped me and gave me a bunch of work and they told me to come up, right? So I still heard of Melly Mel, but I didn't know him. But I know he was like I told a dude, he was like a director. All the people that need to know the director, all the big stars want to work with the director, know him, right? So now we fast forward to now. So someone was telling me, like, man, you know, I did an interview with Melly Mel, man. You should meet him. I said, I know who he is, but I don't know him. And I'll never say I know a person I don't know. And so it was the same. He had heard of my name. Compton is not the biggest city in the world. So we've heard each other's names, but we didn't know them. And so then a mutual party of both of ours introduced us. And then we saw we were both like-minded men. And then I started looking at his videos, and I was like, oh, all right, brother on point, you know. And then I started telling him personally, I started saying to him, and this is not salt because Kev Mack is a hell of a man, you know, and I applaud what he's done. I said, ever think about branching out? I mean, Eminem left D12. Nelly left the St. Lunatics, but you reach back and give kudos and shout-outs. And that's what he always does, you know. And he said, you know, people be telling me this. And so we just start rapping, and I said, well, man, I'm trying to start United Streets of America, and this is what our agenda is, and I think you'd be a perfect fit in our structure. Look before you leap. And he liked what he saw, and he did a couple of interviews of me. He liked my story, and it's been on ever since, man. You know?
Wow.
And as far as Kev Mack, my homeboy Lil Bob, keep telling me, you know, get on Kev Mack, and Melly Mel keep telling me when time permits, and then when I tell Kev Mack, man, we slept right next to each other. Crazy, man. It was 20 years ago, but, you know, we were in Chuckawalla together. And,
okay.
And he said, I'm going to get out and be a comedian. And I used to laugh. Me and his phone, you know. And so I politely reminded him, I had hair in here, too. You know, I've got a ball here now. But I'm going to eventually go on there, you know, because I like his platform, you know. And
no,
I'm
but
like,
I mean,
you're
doing it now. Like I said, for you to have your own, I mean, that would just be good to just to grace the platform to get the story here. But like you said, Melly Mel is doing his thing now. I see Melly Mel doing a lot, and really, when Melly Mel got with Kev, you know, it was, I don't know if they're even part. They just were kind of just hit it off and started doing things. And I know Mel was kind of just that connection to Compton, really, and Mel just saw his talent. And now he's doing his thing as well. But even you now, I want to touch on this with the United Streets, USA, the United Streets of America. You guys creating your own platform, which is definitely needed, you know, so you don't have to per se go to anybody or go to the Vlads or whoever is supposed to be popular. Create your own narrative. And by what you're doing, I really like that. And I want you to expound more on, you know, the whole get down you guys created over there with the United Streets of America, how you said it has different entities and different shows and all these type of things. Can you elaborate more on that?
Okay, like I'm going to give you an example of something that's coming soon. It's called the Round Table.
Okay.
We intermingle with other positive brothers. It's a brother named Abdul out of Fort Worth, Texas, and he has an organization called United Hoods of America. And they have 21 chapters throughout the United States. So this is how I incorporated United Streets of America. I said, well, man, let's do the round table, man, and do it, you know, twice a month and go into other communities in the 21 chapters that we'll call our brother chapters. And we talk about what brothers are doing at a round table. And then we'll live stream it to not only the other 21 chapters, but to everyone that we have on our platform, so they can see what brothers are doing, what they did this week in their communities, what they did with the nonprofits, how they got the funds allocated to them, and things like that. So this is coming soon. That's just one aspect of the United Streets of America. Then another aspect is, like I said, the show that I started called We Salute the Grind. If you sell the mom and pop, we're going to put you on our platform. We don't have any advertisers right now. We don't care about that. When we do get advertisers, if it's Kenny Shoes right here and it's G. Lou Sandals right here, it's going to be right next to it, and G. Lou ain't going to never have to pay us nothing because he's a melanated man in the community doing something for the community and taking a chance on opening up something in the community. So when we say we salute the grind, it's a melanated. This encompasses Asians are melanated people, Hindus are melanated people, Pakistanians, brothers from the continent, brothers here. Our Latin brothers. So when we say melanated people, it's nothing against the European and his descendants, but they have a lock on everything. They have advertising
right.
on everything.
They got it. Yeah, yeah, I got you.
We're concentrating not only entrepreneurs, but also on nonprofits in our communities that are actually doing something for our communities and not pocketing the money. So that's what we salute the grind. When we have OG Bams, you know, OG Perspective, hosted by OG Bams, it's just he's going to talk on whatever comes to mind, you know, and whatever his chat room induces. And so, and then when we have Heyru Show, you know, which is Freedom, and we have a sister named Demita, she talks about all the cases and the guys that she's getting free from the draconian sentences. We don't say men shouldn't be committing crimes. We just say that the sentence equates to the crime.
You know? Right.
So we have so many different venues, and we're about to incorporate a couple of younger sisters for the generational gap. You know, we're about to have some sisters, you know, that are going to start schooling. So, like I said, the narrative is ours to control. And
right, exactly.
By
exactly.
Our narrative, you know, like I said, support us as we support us is my motto. And by us controlling our narrative and what I innovated, I feel personally I've innovated because I've done my research. You don't have any other web channels that says this show comes on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. This show comes on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So mm-hmm. you don't have to wait for on your phone because you know at 6:30, if you want to catch the show, you can catch We Salute the Grind on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 6:30. I had left a telephone number. I went and bought a
right.
phone specifically for anyone that wants to be on the show, call me between 7 and 9 o'clock on Saturday. That's your free advertising. Because
right.
most businesses fail because they don't have two things, prime location or advertising. So I'm giving people in our community the opportunity to advertise. And as far as what we're doing for the community, okay, I just did a donation. Yes, I did, to Carver Park for back-to-school supplies. But we're telling people, this week we're telling people that, hey, man, if you have back-to-school drives, that you need funds for your community, we'll put it on our platform. As long as it's legitimate. We're going to investigate you first because you're not going to run any scams with us. We're not going to be associated with no BS. So it's so many. It's like we're an octopus with tentacles in everything right now. And to paraphrase Nelly Mel, we're building the airplane as we fly. So the United States of America, not necessarily for the unification of gangs and things of that nature. It's the United States of America showing that as a force united, us as melanated people can accomplish anything. From
right.
all walks of
right.
life. So, like, trust you me. Tomorrow, when you click on my webpage, you will be seeing the advertisement of Jean Lou, the G. Lou and the Queen Jean show. And you will be seeing the
okay.
show hitting the gym.
Okay.
We don't want nothing from you. We proud of what you're doing. That's our gratification. So
right.
people talk, they see this blog right here. They see everything they need to see. We just need a simple flyer, and we're formatted to fit our page.
Right.
You know?
Okay. No problem. Easy call. Easy call.
Yeah. Hello? I'm here. The thing with
no,
us
I was
is,
saying easy call.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because, see, and this is what's so beautiful about how we came together as a collective. I always use this analogy. It was D12, Eminem broke out. He turned around and gave D12 a couple of platinum albums and let them tour, made everybody millionaire, and said, now I got to do my thing.
Right.
Nelly did the same thing with St. Lunatics. So with our collective of us three men, me, Melly Mel, and Heyru, if one of us blows up in another direction, turn back and pull the collective up. This is why I'm so
right.
generous on, like when I said, okay, G. Lou and Queen Jean, put them on there. Give them the advertisement that they don't necessarily need, but that'll give them a little bit more of a boost. I may see
right.
G. Lou, or I may see Queen Jean as a cousin at a function, and you or her may say to me, hey, I want you to meet this guy. It just opened the door for me to do something for my collective in my community.
Mm-hmm.
If I ask you something and you
right.
tell me no now, and I tell people this, when people tell you no, say, thank you, I appreciate it, man. So when you make it, that may be the guy or woman that told you no. Now, he's in a room with some person that knows 100 more things than he does, but he calls you over and says, hey, I'm going to tell you about this guy. I told him no a long time ago, but I didn't have a doubt he wasn't going to make it. I want you to meet this cat, man. Let me go over and get a cocktail while you two talk. So it's how you say no or accept no. So this is another thing that we're teaching. And we're eventually about to incorporate in there a program for dudes coming home from prison after all these years because you have a false sense of what's respect that doesn't apply to society. And you'll get caught up. You know, so there's so many different things, man, that with United Streets of America, and it's just a wonderful thing that we found three like-minded brothers and myself and my two co-founders. You know.
That's right.
And,
that's right. That's a beautiful thing.
You know, and we can talk the lingo. You know, we can talk the lingo of anything. I just say up in a minute, like, hey, Lo, check this out, cuz. Let me holler at you, homie. Or I can say, excuse me. Can you come over for a moment? Let me talk to you, bro. You know, with my blackness retained on, bro. Because that's our word, bro. What's up, bro? You know, so we don't always have to be constant performers, and our sisters don't always have to be B's and H's, and we don't always have to be the N-word to each other. See, because I let dudes be raw, raunchy.
Right. Right. Bri, if you don't mind, I want to take a couple callers. We got a few callers out there. I want to take a couple callers. Probably want to holler at you for a minute.
Okay. I'm listening.
All right. Let me go to the phone line. Caller, hello, 858. You're live on the air. Hello.
Hey, one love, man. Yeah, this is Reverend Ali, man, calling out here from San Diego.
I just wanted to
reach out to the you and Queen Jean, but also I'm listening to I'm listening to a great brother. I heard you say his name was Brave. What's his name?
Brian. Brian.
Brian.
Yeah.
Brian Dark.
Yeah, I don't know if I know you or not, but I'm from the Crenshaw area. I grew up over there since back in the late 69 and all the way up until maybe about 94, 95. And I just wanted to say, hey, man, I appreciate you, man, for talking like you do. A lot of people talk, and it sound good, but it don't always feel good.
Right.
And what you saying feel good.
Thank
so that means it's with wisdom and spirit, because people can run their mouth all day talking about what they can do. And you know, you come from where we all come from, but had a little more experience than probably most of us on the phone. You know what I mean? And so, hey, man, I appreciate what you're doing, man. Much love to you. Whatever you're doing, you keep doing it. You know what I'm saying? Rev Ali got love for you, man. There's one more thing I want to say, too, man. You know, I grew up in a fortunate world. I took opportunity to enjoy some of it back in the 70s and 80s and 90s. You know, my father, he knew Jane Fonda, the actress, and he knew her father, Henry Fonda. And Jane became an activist later on in life after her early acting career, because she seen a lot of misfortune in the neighborhood and in the service and all that kind of stuff. So she came out, let folks know that, you know, she wasn't with all that stuff that, you know, government and, you know, breaking civil rights of people and color and all that kind of stuff. So she ended up marrying this dude named Tom Hayden. Tom Hayden was a senator, and he represented the district of, you know, West Los Angeles, Santa Monica area. But Tom Hayden would hire gang members, you know, from, you know, Watts and Grape Street and, you know, different gangs, you know, 60s probably, I don't know, all over. Tom Hayden recruited gang members to work for him, and he was a state senator. And he wrote a book, too. I think it was called L.A. Gangs or something. I just look him up. His name is Tom Hayden. But since he looked like
that name sounds familiar.
I'm familiar with him. I don't look at people with color, because I believe white is the government. I believe calling yourself black is worse than calling yourself a nigger, because it's government. It's all caught up in a system. Black is a system, because if it wasn't, then you wouldn't see the Indian go file sovereignty and gain all their land and have their own courts and their own hospitals. You ain't heard about no Indian on no Indian reservation having no COVID, have you? No, because they got sacred ground. They got sage, you know, all around them. Sage is no joke, man. You know, that kill any virus that's around you, any kind of negative energy, sage will kill and get it away from you. So, you know, Tom Hayden is a Caucasian dude that they so-called call him Caucasian, but Tom Hayden was a real human being. And he took a lot of slack for going out there and hiring ex-gang members and giving them opportunities to know about law and learn how to make relations better with police. And what he was really saying was, it really can't be done because it's too late. You know, the LAPD and all around Los Angeles, you know, up in Torrance, you know, the sheriffs in Torrance, all of them, you know, they've been killing us for years in Los Angeles County, killing folks all day long and getting away with it. And so he wasn't having it, man. So when I listened to you talk, I was like, wow, that's a trip because, you know, Tom Hayden died. He died. He had some health conditions, and he ended up passing away. But Tom Hayden is Jane Fonda's ex-husband, and also he's Troy Garrity's father. And maybe y'all don't know who Troy Garrity is, but Troy Garrity played in Ice Cube's movie called Barbershop. He was the white boy barber in that movie. That's Tom Hayden and Jane Fonda's son, Troy Garrity.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I just wanted to say that because when I'm listening to my brother talk, I'm like, man, it just sounds so inspirational because, you know, people be like, well, you know, some stories don't need to be told. I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of stuff that we did in the streets and stuff that happened, a lot of stuff that we saw, all of it don't need to be told. Some of it ain't for vision. Some of it ain't for people to remember. Because if we're moving forward, we definitely don't want them to remember a lot of the stuff. We know what happened. And we don't have to tell it to these people, America. They're going to try to come get it and sell it and package it and then sell it back to the same gang members that they was putting in jail and planting drugs and dope and guns on. You know, we can't go back to, you know, we can't be a fool at all no more, man. But I just want to say that, man, Rev Ali, love you, man. Queen Jean, G. Lou, having this show, you know, for folks that could speak out, man, because there's a lot of stuff that don't nobody know still to this day. And much love to Kev Mack. You know, I know a bunch of people over there in that neighborhood off of Slauson and 8th Ave. I used to hang on Slauson and 8th Ave when I was 15 years old, you know, at night, kicking it over there with some of the homies. You know, I felt comfortable over in the neighborhood because I knew so many of them. I went to school with a lot of them, but had no idea that I could have got pilled at any time, especially not being from over there. So, you know, much love to everybody over there to this day. I still don't know why, you know, Nipsey was outside hanging out like that. You know, I didn't appreciate that because I know that area very well, long before his time. You know, the area over there on Slauson and Crenshaw, hey, it's a lot of history over there and a lot of gang violence that happened over there in those streets, man. And so I just couldn't understand why he was outside like that for so long of a time, more than, you know, 5-10 minutes, because it didn't make no sense to me. And maybe they told him, maybe the OGs told him, you know, hey, homie, be cool when you come through here, but maybe he didn't listen. I don't know. But I do know after you tell somebody in that neighborhood, hey, homie, you know, they got some paperwork on me. They say you snitching. You don't hang around after you tell somebody that. Get your ass up out of there. It's time to go because you know how that area is, man. They take offense to that and want to come back and make it seem like you the hater. And that dead deaf spirit has been over in that Crenshaw district way back in 1979. So way before Nipsey came, that spirit ain't never left from over there. They know how people is over there. You know, so we got to take responsibility for ourselves, man, and know that we can't be hanging out and kicking it like that you know, because we think, you know, we so-called black. Nah, that's a system. You a child of the Most High, period. You know, and that's why they hate you, because then he made everybody different. He made everybody strong. He made everybody have certain talent and stuff like that. And a lot of people don't have what we have. And instead of just trying to come together with us, they would have taken it from us and steal it from us and make it seem like they came up with it. Anyway, much love, man. I love you. I'm right here listening, man. Rev Ali, God bless you, man.
Much love and respect, Rev Ali.
Appreciate
you,
bro. Thank you, man. All righty. We got another caller out there. Caller, hello. You're live on the line.
Good evening, man. What a very impressive episode, G-Lou. Man, I want to commend you and Almighty Queen Jean for another great one in the can. And to your distinguished guests. And I say distinguished because, sir, you are so intelligent. You never would have had to even be a gangbanger. The way you articulated your whole life story and, you know, just the hour that I've been listening in, because I was a little late, so I missed the beginning of the beginning. But I was fortunate enough to be around a few Carver Park cats, always been solid with me. Matter of fact, I want to say rest in peace to Chico, the tattoo man. He just passed.
Yeah, just last month.
Okay, well, I know him for years and years, and I know his wife, Cece, and long story.
But
I understand the philosophy, understand what you've been through, and you didn't have to give back. But I know one thing, you were so much more intelligent to know right from wrong, because how you articulate it now, you didn't learn that in the pen. It was already in you. You could have been probably the leader of the Carver Parks back in the day. Because for somebody to have a conviction that you've had, to be able to sustain 18 years in prison, that is not an easy task. Believe me.
Right.
No way, it's no possible way. So, man, I commend you. And I hope that your efforts, man, will be prominent, man, because can't nobody learn off of a story if they can't learn off your story. So, and if they don't listen to you, they are idiots. Because I remember when we all thought that we was nickel slick. Everybody used to say that too. That shit had me laughing like a bug when y'all said that. Because, man, I heard that growing up as a kid. Oh, you think you nickel slick. And I understood what that meant. It put a smile on my face, man. For real.
Right.
But we understand what we all went through in L.A., in Compton, and Watts, just in South Central period. And like Reverend Ali said, we still can't go to Torrance to this day. We still can't go to Culver City to this day. It's places that we cannot never enjoy. Because Signal Hill, we can't go there to this day. So a lot has changed, but a lot is still the same. So
your
United Streets of America, I salute y'all, man, and I would love to be a part of that as well.
Well, you log on to thatusastreets.com.
It's a done deal.
There it is. There it is.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Tweed.
You're quite welcome.
Tweed Cadillac, baby.
You know,
93.3 Tweed FM Mizzle. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, well, with that being said, we got about a couple minutes left. We'll go ahead and get ready to wrap it up. Bri D, if you want to go ahead and before we do, and I'll let Queen take us out, but I want you to give everybody out there all of the handles where they can follow you at. You know, again, put the website out there and whatever else you want the people to know.
You know, basically, you know, all you have to do is go to United Streets of America. You can Google it. You can type in THEUSA Streets. STREETS.com. You get our website and it'll direct you to our YouTube channel and everything else. You know, and what we have lined up with our schedule lined up so hard and so forth. With that being said, man, all I just want to say, man, is I was saying everything I am makes me everything I'm not. And everything I'm not makes me everything I am.
All that simply means is everything that you are is everything that you was and so forth that you manifested into, man. And if I could do it, anybody could do it. That's all I'm just saying. If I could do it, anybody could do it. And there's three of us right here in your face, whoever's listening to this, that we showed you that we did it and still doing
that part.
That's all after
that part. That part. Big Bright Dog. Big Bright E, y'all. Yeah.
Hey, cousin.
Incredible episode, like the homies.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Queen.
I just want to say to you, thank you for accepting the invitation. It was a last-minute invitation, and I'm humbled and grateful and thankful to you for accepting the invitation. And, you know the love I have for you, and I'm going to leave it right there and just, you know, tell you to continue to do what you're doing. I'm kind of choked up because I'm emotional. Keep being an inspiration to me and everybody that you touch, and infinity
thank
love
you.
To you, okay?
And I'm honored to both of y'all. I'm honored by y'all allowing me to be on your platform, and I'm honored that you allowed me to, you know, expound on my platform. So, you know, it's cool
likewise.
To both y'all. Say we salute the
likewise.
Prime. Even though Lou and Queen Jean show, you know.
Thank you.
There it is.
Thank you, cousin.
And y'all going to be on our... When you check our board tomorrow, y'all are going to be up there.
Right,
okay.
I'm going to definitely
okay.
check it. And I'm available
yes.
whenever
yes.
you need me on the camera.
I got you. I know you. Hey, you're going to be on the show anyway. And we may have
right
your man right here on the grind. If he's receptive, give us 2 weeks and we're going to have G. Luke on We Salute the Grind. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Right.
Uh-oh, there it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that
two
would
weeks,
be dope.
There it is.
We only on
okay.
three times a week, but we'll get you in 2 weeks, bro.
Let's
word
make it happen.
New York.
We'll make it happen.
All right.
We'll make it happen. For sure.
All right, y'all.
Big Brian,
all right,
Brian Berkeley.
Brian Darnett.
Yes, sir.
Brian Darnett.
All right.
Get you some rest.
There it is.
Holler at you later.
There it is.
Okay. Bye.
Peace.
All right, B. Hey, with that, go ahead and take us out of here, Queen.
Okay, I just want to say peace and love to everybody. Thank you for listening in and joining the show. This was a great episode. Continue to bless the G. Lou Show by subscribing to the G. Lou Show YouTube channel. Continue to rock with us, live your truth, and stay solid. One love.
That part. And that being said, we out of here. 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. W-E-A-K. I am G. Lou. That's Queen Jean. Follow her at Queen Jean of the G. Lou Show on IG. Jean V. Berkeley on Facebook. Follow me, G. Lou Show, everything. I'm there. Follow Brian Berkeley at Bridey. I'm not sure, but he's on IG. Just look up Brian. That's the Streets USA. What is it, Queen, the website?
It's USA Networks. I'm getting ready to bring it all up to you right now.
Well, just United Streets of America. Look that up. Big Bright
yeah,
Dog or Bright D or Brian
Berkeley. Just look up United
that part,
Streets of America and all the information to be on there. So
that
that's
part.
For sure.
With that.
But thank
that
you.
Part. With that being said, we up out of here. We love y'all. We'll see you guys on Friday. Oh, yeah, Friday. We got a nice show for y'all. We bringing the verses back. So just I'm telling y'all, tune in Friday. We got a great show for y'all Friday night. We'll be back same time, same place. G Lou the G Lou Show. Yeah, it's going down. TMC, y'all. See y'all in the after hours. Peace.
Peace.